Okay, let's begin our discussion of Haggadah Tavshin Pei Vav, as we have the schus of discussing the Haggadah together, as we have been doing for probably 25 years or so. Started off the first couple of years in Chutz La'aretz, and now for the past 18 in the land of Israel. And as we do every year, we'll go through the Haggadah, try to have one thought on each of the paragraphs as much as we can. Hopefully we won't, we'll try not to repeat. Maybe there's one thought I might have said about 15 years ago. You'll have to excuse that. But everything else hopefully is new, and feel free to listen to the archive. Some people have more time at home now than usual in other Pesachs, so we'll do what we can, and feel free to listen to some of the archives. Okay, so we start off. Let's get to the beginning of the Haggadah. We start off with a minhag. There's a minhag of wearing a kittel. If you look in source number one in the Eish Tamid, there is a minhag of wearing a kittel at the Seder. Various reasons given. The Taz gives two reasons. One of them being, Hataz maybe, this is from the Haggadah of the Eish Tamid, Rav Druk. He quotes the Taz, who says two reasons. Number one, either derech cheres u'malchus, it's royalty. It's kingly. It's, you know, you see a white robe. So on the one hand, that's what it is. That we understand. We understand it's what royalty does. But on the other hand, kadesh lo tazuach daito Allah b'bnei asimcha alken yilbash begin mesim. But on the other end, there's a total opposite reason, and that's what we're buried in a kittel. And for us to remember that even though it's a party and it's a mesiba, but we have to remember the seriousness, so to speak. And he says, based on elu hafuchim heim zeh mizeh b'tachlis, seems to be two totally opposite type of reasons. Right? Is it a great simcha, happy, wonderful, I love putting on this kittel? Or we remember another time that we're going to have the kittel put on. But he says, maybe there's a deeper idea here. There's a deeper idea here that the kittel and begin mesim is not just about, Rachman al-Itzlan, thinking of Yom HaMisa, but for us to think about what we normally, what we, as Am Yisrael, what we do before Yom HaMisa comes. There are many throughout history. We have many great copies of this that many of our great gedolim wrote ethical wills towards the end of their life. What are the messages that I want to give over to my children for generations? What are the most important things that I want to transmit? Suggest the Eish Tamid. That's the message of the kittel. It makes us think about getting older. It makes us think about what messages do I want to transmit to my children, to my grandchildren. And that's what Pesach's about. Out of any night of the year, of course, every time there's a Yontif, there's a Shabbos, we try to transmit, but more than any, the Igadat al-Abincha. The Igadat al-Abincha is about giving over messages that we want to give over. Yes, this beged makes us remember that message of the transmission of generations. And that's what he says in the middle of the paragraph, Kenu mamish in yano shel chag ha-Pesach bichlau. V'lel ha-seder befrat, anu tzrichim lahavin. We have to understand. Sheha'emuna bebore olam. V'zachiras yisiyas Mitzrayim zeo tamsis chayenu. Right? The emuna in Hashem and zachiras yisiyas Mitzrayim is the essence of our life, and that's what we try to give over to our children, to our grandchildren, to our guests, whoever is at our Seder. And putting on that kittel reminds us, giving that over to the next generation is what we're all about. And that's what this night is about as well. Okay, that gets us started. As I say every year, one is allowed to use any of these Divrei Torah by the daytime meals as well. One is allowed to use them Shabbos HaGadol. There's no Bal Tosif. There's no Yochol Me Rosh Chodesh, and you're not allowed to say it over. Feel free to use it anytime. So we get into the Haggadah. In the past, we've spoken about early mitzvahs that we do. So a question that we've dealt with various times is, I'm just going to switch chairs because this one's squeaky. Okay. Thank you. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. As we know, there is no bracha explicitly on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Rishonim already wonder, where is the bracha? Where is the bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So some suggest, well, it's the bracha of Kiddush. It's in there somehow. Others say, the Nesivos that we've quoted in the past, suggest that maybe there is no bracha because his rule is, whenever a mitzvah is a bracha or is done in the context of brachos, Chazal did not institute a separate bracha. Right? We don't have a bracha on Birchas HaMazon because it is a bracha. We don't have a bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, on davening because davening is brachos. We don't have a bracha on Kriyashma because Kriyashma is done in the context of brachas. We don't have a bracha on Zechiras HaMalek. It's done in the context of the Aliyah. We don't have a bracha on Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, says the Nesivis, because it's done in the context of the other brachas of the night. The mitzvah, the bracha of Kiddush, the bracha of Hallel, the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, and the like. So that's another answer that we've quoted in the past. But there is Rav Goldvich, Rav Meir Goldvich, in his Haggadah, Meir Panim, in source 2, quotes a Chasam Sofer, which we quoted in a Shabbos Haggadah Drasha a number of years ago. Chasam Sofer has an unbelievable idea, where he says, he doesn't quote it here, but the Shibali Haleket, one of the Rishonim quote, that there is a bracha. It's the bracha at the end of Magad, Asher Galanu. Asher Galanu v'Golas Avoseinu. That's the bracha on Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim. So asks the Chasam Sofer and the other Mefarshim, when you make a bracha, you say a bracha before you do the mitzvah. And here you have a bracha after you do the mitzvah. Right? Why do we say at the end of Magid? Suggests the Chasam Sofer. I don't think he's saying it to explain the Shibali Haleket, but that's how we're using it. Says the Chasam Sofer, there is one exception to the rule. There's one Birchas HaMitzvah that Lekulei Alma is said afterwards. Because it's impossible to say it beforehand. And that is Tevilas Ger. The tefillah of a convert going into a mikvah, you can't say the bracha before he goes into the mikvah. He's not Jewish. So he has to say it afterwards. The night of the Seder, we are all being converting. We were all born tonight. It's our national birthday of Am Yisrael. We are born tonight. We can't make the bracha before we start because the point is we're jumping in the mikvah. When we get up to Leficha B'chol Dar V'Dar, we should be wiping off the drips. Because we should feel we're coming out of the mikvah. And we're becoming new people. And that's why after we get out, it's like the bracha of ala tefillah after we get out of the mikvah. Shebishlav zeh, see where it's underlined. Adayin yefshar levarech al sibur yitzias Mitzrayim. Kibon shaka'es anachro adayin b'mitzrayim. We're still there. We're still in the maschil b'gnus. Halayla hulala seder hakol misudar ubishlav zeh. After everything, then we could say the bracha of like a tefillah of a gear. Number the Magid. Okay, so that gets us into Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas. We've spoken about Karpas a lot in the past, Yachatz. So we split the matzah in half. Rabbi Goldscheider in his Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Achdus, which if you remember, quotes, is based on the thoughts of three Rabbanim. Rav Kook, Rav Salvechik, and Rav Shlomo Karlbach. That's the Haggadah. On almost every paragraph, he quotes the three ideas. So here he has on Yachatz. He has three ideas on Yachatz. First, in the first paragraph, again, we're not going to read everything inside to save time. He says, Rev Salvechik notes that in Mitzrayim, we weren't all exactly equal in terms of the social structure. After all, Sheva Levi just walked around, right? They didn't have to do Shibud. Moshe and Aaron just walked in and out. And there must have been others too. There's a hierarchy, different levels of Avdus, that took place there. So if that's the situation, it must be, says Rev Salvechik, that even in Mitzrayim, if I was on a higher social strata, I probably shared some of the food with you. Because that's what Jews do. We share. If I have more, I share with my friend. I take off a piece and I give it to you. At the beginning of the Seder, we remember, says Rev Salvechik, we remember that midah that we have. The midah that if I have something, I'm going to break it off and maybe share it with others. And that's what got us through Mitzrayim, and that's what got us through the Holocaust, and that's what gets us through every tzara that we've been through. The connection and the support that we give each other. And that's what Rav Salvechik says, Anu shovrim es hamatzah biyachatz, kisemel lechesed, sh'asu avoseinu machayim, asemel to the chesed that they must have done, lomrot atzraim akashim, though there were difficult conditions, because a Jew doesn't stop supporting each other. Number one. Number two, a second idea, he quotes this from Rav Kook. We break the matzah in half. Because it's always true, but especially tonight, when a Jew eats, it's both physical and spiritual. We don't live to eat, right? We eat to live. But we not only eat to live physically, we eat to live spiritually. Tonight, everything we eat is to go straight to our neshama, the matzah and the maror and the karpas and the korech and the charoses, whatever it is, we're eating physically and spiritually. Says Rav Kook, we break the matzah to remind us that that's what we're doing tonight, and that's what we do always. V'yesh kafas hayadus, right in the middle. Ha'achila hi pu'ula, she'tomen ba potenzial chavaya ruchanit mamika la'adam. We Jews eat a lot, right? Not just because we're hungry, but there's every time we have a wedding and a bris milah and every holiday. So the message is obviously not to have physical gastronomical experiences, but it's about being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the fact that we're human and through our eating. We break the matzah as if to say there's two halves to our eating. There's a physical side and there's a spiritual side. And that's breaking the matzah. And finally, Rav Shlomo Kalbach in source number, the third point in source number three. So he says, you know what? We break the matzah. There's a lot of broken things in our world. A lot of broken things in our world. And we break the matzah to remember that. We don't even have to remember that often. Who's going to fix it? Who's going to be mashlim our broken matzah? Who's going to bring back the broken matzah towards the end of the Seder? Our children. The next generation. There are a lot of things broken, but we say we believe in the next generation. We believe that you're going to be mashlim. The children, the grandchildren, all the younger, the next generation at the Seder. I look at the present, but I see a bright future. I see a wonderful future, and that's what we do by breaking the matzah. That's what we remember, yachatz. Kadesh Urchatz Karpas Yachatz, and we are up to Magid, where we will spend most of our evening tonight. Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya, if you have in the Torah Ladas, one of Rabbi Blum's Svarim, in source number four. Right, the question, there are a number of questions that are asked in every Haggadah, as we know. This is one of them. Why is this paragraph in Aramaic? Right, Halach Ma'anya, and we know the Haggadah is made of layers. There are some very early layers, obviously. The Psukim in the Torah are the earliest layer of the Haggadah. But then we have from the Mishnah. And then we have from the Gemara, and then we have over generations, things were added on to the Haggadah. But Halach Ma'anya is very early. Very early, Halach Ma'anya, this is the poor man's bread, the Yachalu of Asana. Why is this in Aramaic? Why is this in Aramaic? So, says the Torah Ladas here, Kfar Erichu HaMefarshim, why does it start off? So he quotes that we know Moshe Rabbeinu's name once, but basically is not mentioned in the Haggadah. Rav Yamina Bashem Moshe Avdo, he gets one mention, but we basically don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's maybe one of the reasons some suggest that when we darshan the psukim in the middle of the Magid, we don't speak about Shmos. We pick four psukim by Mikra Bikurim from Kisavo, because that doesn't mention Moshe. What's the emphasis? Tonight's about Hashem. Tonight's about Anivalo Malach, Anivalo Saraf. It's about focusing on the Nisim and the flows, like the Rambam's Lashon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on this night. Aniv lo malach. Even the angels weren't part of bringing the geula tonight. Makas Bechoris was purely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the topic in 2 days of the Shabbos HaGadol, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem, as we'll talk about. Be'ezus Hashem. But even the malachim didn't have anything to do with tonight. The Gemara says that malachim don't understand Aramaic. That's why we say Kaddish in Aramaic. We want to say a special brach, a tefillah special straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's kind of like the anti-Shalom Aleichem. You know, Shalom Aleichem, we invite the angels in, come join us. Yes, when we get to the table, maybe we say Tzeichem L'Shalom, but at least come join us. Tonight, right at the beginning, we say, angels, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of this one. Kadosh Baruch Hu this is his night. The first paragraph, we emphasize, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's all you. It's all you. Kedei shalo yala al adas, yashum malach hayashutufim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'gulas Mitzrayim. And that's why we say this. oh, somebody's going to ask me when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, don't we say some have the minhag of saying Shalom Aleichem? Okay, Shalom Aleichem, you gotta work that out. But at least this year it's not on a Shabbos, so we don't have to ask that kasha. Okay. Next, so Halach Ma'anya, then we get to Manishtana. Again, I'm really holding back from mentioning things from other years, but please remember some of those thoughts as they pop into my head as well. I'm not going to. Okay, so Manishtana. So Manishtana. So said the, in the Haggadah Tala Le'oros, he quotes, Manishtana alay lazeh, we ask the questions, and he notes what many note, and that is the whole Seder is questions and answers. Almost everything, almost every paragraph, it's not statements, it's questions and answers. Manishtana alay lazeh, then we have an answer. Each of the four sons ask a question. Right, Pesach Matzah Maror, Pesach, right? Al Shuma. Like everything is questions, right? Who knows one? Right, all the way at the end, right? Mi Yodea, Shiva Mi Yodea. The whole Seder is question and answers because that's how we learn. The best way of learning is question answer. Right, every rabbi knows. You give a great drasha if there's no tension, if there's no problem to solve, then the audience is lost. Like, what am I waiting for? Where's the pitaron? Where's the, you need the, right, the two pieces that don't fit. You have to pique the curiosity. Pique the curiosity. Says the Tale Oros, Hasha'ela hi echan mi'ikari achachma. This is one of the roots of wisdom. This is how you get to the depths of an idea, right? You have to search for an issue, search the issue to try to get to the depths, and then have a resolution, not just a statement. And he quotes here from Rav Yechezkel Abramsky. He says, because only through lack of clarity do we ultimately have clarity. We think there's clarity. You think you understand something until you get akasha. He doesn't quote it. Remember that Gemara in Bamitzia, around Peidalot or so, where the Gemara says Reish Lakish, Reb Yochanan, and without getting into the details, Reish Lakish died, and maybe connected to Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan was so upset. He was so upset that he wandered the streets. Heichad Bar Lakisha, Heichad Bar Lakisha, haunting screams, and they try to help him. He lost his chavrusa, his brother-in-law. So they got him. I forgot one of Reb Elazar ben Pedasa. I forgot who it was. And he went to Shear, and Rabbi Yochanan said something. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedasa said, I have 24 rayas that you're right. And Rabbi Yochanan says, you think I need you to tell me that I'm right? Rabbi Yochanan, you know what my brother Reish Lakish used to do? I used to say something, he asked me 24 kashas. And we came up with 24 tirutzim. And through that, then the topic was cleared up. You think I need you? I know I'm right if I say I'm right. Heichad Bar Lakisha. That's this message. Manishtana halayl hazeh. It's all about questions. We want to plumb the depths of these ideas, of this feeling. We have to make sure, says Yechezkel Abramsky, to make sure that we have the problems and in that way be able to have the answers. See on the bottom, ni'imos u'metikos miyuchedesh. There's a sweetness. Yesh l'dvarim akashahim ne'amarim k'tshuva l'she'ela. Kach he'muvanim yoser, the understood to the shomeya. Manishtana. And the answer that we give is Avadim Ayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim. Avadim Ayinu. If you notice, what were the questions? Questions is, why are we eating matzah? Why are we dipping two times? Why are we leaning? Like, good questions. And all the, where's the answer to that question? Why are we eating matzah and not challah? Avadim Ayinu. Just tell me the answer to the question. Right? Mara, what are we dipping for? Avadim Ayinu, we're not answering the question. Maybe in a couple of hours we'll come back to the answers. Says Rav Eli Sadan in his Haggadah in Kama Malos in source number 6, because when you really want to give an answer to a question, you have to start with the Yesodos. You have to start. Somebody asked the prat, the best way to teach is to, you hear the question, okay, let's start with the basics. What's the Din D'Oraisa? What's the Din D'Rabbanan? You give a whole background. And then you get to the answer. You know, sometimes, again, I'm not saying this always. Sometimes if there's somebody who asks me a question, they want to know mutter aser. Rabbi, I trust you. You know, just tell me the answer. That's fine if it's just a psak din. But if somebody really wants to educate and teach, then you have to start with, okay, this is a great question. Let's talk about it. Avadam ayinu l'parah b'mitzrayim. We start with the klalim. We start with the big picture. We'll get to the details of why we're dipping so much and why we're leaning. We'll get to that. But when we answer, look what he says. Haben maschil l'shol mitoch ha-mifgashim ha-pratim. Right? The son deals with the details. Im uvdos matimos. What's going on here? Why is this? What I see in front of me? And the Baal Haggadah says, let's take a step back and realize and appreciate. Kshanu onim lo tzarach lahasbir min haklal el haprat. V'chulu v'chulu, and skip down. Alapalav al haseba, ein klal tshuva yeshira. We don't have a straight tshuva, ki mitoch hasbara klalis. Once you get the bigger picture, then you'll be able to understand avadam ayinu l'parah b'mitzrayim. And then we have the story of the five rabbis. Right, Maisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, the five rabbis that come to Bnei Brak. And there are 2 points. Okay, I'm just going to repeat this. I apologize. What are they doing in Bnei Brak? Because this is something that we have to repeat every single year, especially in a year like this year. Why'd they go to Bnei Brak? All of these rabbis had their own communities. They went to Bnei Brak. Who was in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva was the Mar D'Asra of Bnei Brak. So they went to Bnei Brak, Rabbi Akiva's town. Why'd they go to Rabbi Akiva? They all had their own communities. I'm not sure how well their shuls were happy that their rabbis went away, but they realized he went away for a reason. These rabbis lived post-Churban. Imagine having a Seder when last year or a couple years ago or your grandfather used to tell you about the Korban Pesach as the main course and all the Jews in Yerushalayim. And now, so many decimated. So you call this a Seder, right? They could probably still smell the ashes of the Churban. It was a depressing time. Bar Kokhba, the last hope, destroyed. They went to Rabbi Akiva because throughout Chazal, the midah of Rabbi Akiva is optimism, is hope, is positivity. 10 examples. The Aruch HaShulchan says this in his Haggadah, in the Lel Shimurim, Haggadah's Lel Shimurim. 10 examples, maybe one of the more well-known ones. The last Gemara in Makkos, everybody else is crying when they see the animal on Har HaBayis, and Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Oh, I know this Nebuah is going to come true too. Number one, Makkos. Number two, Rabbi Akiva, even when he's being killed, the Talmidim say, Rabbi, Ad Khan. Rabbi Akiva says, I've been waiting for this all my life. Afilu hunotu las nafshecha. The daf before in Maseches Brachos. Rabbi Akiva, remember he has the horse and the candle, and nobody gives him a place to sleep. He has to sleep outside. Called David Rachman Latav Avid. Everything Hashem does is for the good. And it worked out because there was a marauding army that went through. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara Nedarim, he gets married, he has no money, he's living in a barn. Eliyahu Navi comes to knock on the door and says, my wife just gave birth, you have any straw I could borrow? Rabbi Akiva looks at his wife, honey, look, they don't even have straw. We have straw. Rabbi Akiva says the last mission in Yuma. Right? How do we get kapara on Yom Kippur these days? There's no more Sir Lazazel. There's no more Avodah. Rabbi Akiva says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mikvah. Don't worry about it. Every story about Rabbi Akiva is about his ability to see through the darkness. They went to Rabbi Akiva. This is something that we have focused on throughout our histories. Pesach during difficult times, Pesach during wars. You have to remember Rabbi Akiva. The Maharal just has a note in Gvuras Hashem, right, which is his sefer on Pesach. In source number 6, he notes, they were learning the whole night. They were learning the whole night. Wasn't that hard? Isn't there a concept of Simchas Yontif? Like Simchas Yontif, if I'm tired, I want to go to sleep. If I'm tired, you know, like they were just talking. It doesn't say that they didn't, you know, have a wonderful meal with their family, but they stayed up all night, all night? So says the Maharal, you know what you see from here? Of course they didn't violate Simchas Yontif. This was their Simchas Yontif. This was their Simchas Yontif. And that's what it's here for, to tell us about our greats. Again, it doesn't mean that this is normative practice for us. If we feel that we're going to sleep through Shacharis, we should go to sleep after the Seder. So the Yetzirah telling us to stay. But these greats were able to go straight. Right? Wasn't it Tsar? And it went very quickly. They didn't even realize it was light outside. They didn't even realize. It went so quickly, right? Vahi be'inav ki yamim achadim, to borrow the language from Parshas Vayetze. So this is, that's a goal, that's an idea that we have. And then we get to Amar Blazim and Azariah. Harani kevin shivim shana. I am like 70 years old. I was like 70 odd until I realized, right, you have it on the top of the, I wrote source number 6 twice. I could blame it for my secretary, but I don't have one. So in source number 7, in Kamosi Shalal Rav, he quotes here, this I think I mentioned a couple of, decades ago. This thought. So he said, Harani kevin shivim shana, velo zachisi shetayamar itzis misraim balelos. I wasn't zoche to talk about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Remember, this paragraph is the contrast. The whole night is about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the unique mitzvah of tonight. This paragraph reminds us that there's a mitzvah every day and night of our life of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's what this paragraph is about. So the question is, what is the fact of that he's almost like 70? And we remember the story in the Brachas where they come to make him the chief rabbi without reviewing that. And they say, do you want to be our chief rabbi? And he says, I have to go ask my wife. And his wife says, but maybe they'll fire you tomorrow. And he says, better to be a glass kli for one day than an earthenware kli all my life. And then she says, but you don't have a white beard. And overnight, he grew a white beard. And that's what he says. Amike says, you're only 18. Hariani kevin shivim shana. What does that detail have to do with this paragraph, Mishnah in Brachas? I'm like 70 years old and I never could figure out this drasha. Ma kesher, as we say. Why does that have to be in the Chazal? Right? I'm like Samadhi Velo Zachisi, and I never merited to understand what the source is to say Yitzias Mitzrayim at night until Ben Zoma taught me Laman Tizkaras Yom Tehisla Kol Yomei Chayecha. What's the connection? See, he quotes from Rav Yonasan Eibishitz, one of the sharpest minds in our history. Says Rav Yonasan Eibishitz. So that story that we were just talking about, what does she say to him? But you don't have a white beard. There's no answer recorded in the Gemara. There's no answer. Like, did they just go to sleep angry? Right? I don't know. She says, you don't have a white beard. Like, he didn't know there was going to be a nace. What could he have said? He could have answered, honey, there's a mitzvah of kavod talmid chacham. It doesn't really matter how old you are. Right? There's an idea that, don't worry about it. If they're asking me to be the chief rabbi, they obviously don't care about the color of my beard. Right? So it says that he could have answered that. Right? Look in the middle of the paragraph. L'chara yesh l'ha'ir. Shalom matzanu shalom azariah heisha l'ishto al t'hanasa. Shein lo zakin lavan. There's no answer given. And he could have answered that. The pasuk says, as we know, es Hashem lokech atira es l'rabos talmidei chachamim. Right? We know es Hashem lokech atira. Fear God. And we say es includes talmidei chachamim. But he didn't say that. Hold that thought. Then what happens? There's a nes that he grows a white beard overnight. Why does Hashem perform that nes? Isn't there a mitzvah of honoring Tamar Chacham even without a white beard? Right? Isn't that the fact that the nes was done, says Rav Yonasan Eibishitz, tipped off Rav Blazim and Azariah, oh, I need the white beard. I need the white beard. It must be... You don't darshan the word es. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira l'rabos talmidei chachamim. It must be that Nechemya HaAmsuni, who we've quoted often, Nechemya HaAmsuni wasn't right. Because as Hashem Elokecha Tira, he came up to this one and he couldn't figure it out. It must be you don't darshan the word es. Or else why did Hashem give me a white beard and do the nace for me? It must be that I need the white beard to get the covet. That's why he says, Harei ani, I'm like 70. I grew the white beard and I couldn't figure out Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? What does the pasuk say by Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? Laman tiskar es yom seischa me'aretz Mitzrayim. And I realized that you can't darshan. You don't learn anything from the word es. So that's why I couldn't figure it out until my chaverim told me there's another word you could darshan. Kol yemei chayecha. That could teach me Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that is a sharp thought of the Rav Yonasan Eibishitz about the story of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Okay. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Hashem gave us the Torah. Rabbi Lam in his Haggadah, source number 8. Rabbi Lam in his Haggadah notes, Hashem gave us the Torah. Good, we know. The Medrash tells us that Hashem offered the Torah to all other nations before he, this is the source number 8 we're up to. Right? Hashem offered the Torah, the Medrash says, the Sifri in Zos HaBracha, and they all rejected it. They all rejected it, right? What they say, remember Makasuv Bo, what's in it? Hashem says, Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinaf, and they all rejected the Torah. What was behind their rejection? What was behind their rejection was that they needed and expected any book of law to fit into their lives. This is our life. This is what we do. So you're going to give us a whole rule of law. Okay. We're going to fit it into our life. It doesn't fit into our lives. Okay. We reject it. The Chiddush of the Torah, Rabbi Lam explains, the Chiddush of the Torah is that it was revolutionary. This is the rule. Fit your life to this. Not take from this and fit to your life. It was a revolutionary idea. It wasn't humanly made by the society. Well, this is our society. Let's make rules that fit our society. Says Rabbi Lam, no, the Torah, they meant to say, was given not to confirm standard ideas and prevailing prejudices, but to challenge and change them. The Ten Commandments were meant to teach a religion with a difference, to offer the world an alternative to the colorful but lifeless paganism, the Chulu. We recognize the Torah is not about fitting in. We know it does meant to fit in, because the Torah, as we know, Gemara Pesachim tells us, Torah was one of the 7 things created before the world was created. What does that mean? That the world fits into the Torah. The whole world has to fit into the Torah, not the Torah the other way. And that's what we have to recognize, the gavlus of the Torah. The Torah represents values that are divinely written. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have the schus of patterning and modeling our lives to what Hashem wants, and not creating a law system that's what we decided that fits into our lives. We mentioned years ago, those might remember it, Kavati Itan LaTorah, one of the 6 questions were asked, but right, did he set aside time for Torah? But the drush on that, we have to be Koveya the Itim to the Torah. We have to set the Itim, the times, our lives to the Torah, and not Chas V'Shalom the other way, set the Torah to the Itim. We're Koveya the Itim to the Torah, not the Torah to the Itim, and that's exactly this message from Rabbi Lam that we have to recognize. Yeah, sometimes it's hard and challenging to follow every diktuk of every halacha. But that's the inspirational attitude that we have to have, that we get to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on His terms, so to speak. These are God's terms, not our terms. Baruch HaMakom. And then we get to the sons, and then we get to the 4 sons. Says the Shemin HaTov in source number 10. Source number 10. So the Chacham asks, can each son can be analyzed, and we've discussed in the past, maybe all 4 sons, just to remember this idea. This was probably one of the first years of Aaron Soloveitchik's idea that it's not really 4 different sons. It's 4 stages of development that we all have within us. The Shemin HaTov here talks about the son, the question of the Chacham. Ma ha'edus v'achukim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. Right, what are these laws that Hashem told you? Says the Shemin HaTov, Kfar bi'arnu, de'ikr she'elas ha'chacham hu lo al hador yotzei Mitzrayim. Right? The ikr question of the Chacham is not that first generation. De'heimro oso zumovsim be'ineihem. Ve'mikiros yad Hashem. They saw these miracles. The question the Chacham is asking for is for all future generations. V'shoel, ma'u ha'chagiga shel chayrus she'yotzu mi'mitzrayim. De'im keis od pam begalus. We're celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim? But guess what? Then we went into Gullus again. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is, where are the results, the effects of it? And then we went back to Eretz Yisrael. And then we went into Gullus again. And then we came back and forth and back. Like, there have been so many ups and downs in Jewish history. That's what we still focus on. We're still focusing on, like, it's like 7 steps ago. Right? So what do we need to focus on that first Geula? That first Geula. Right? Ubi'ikr hu shoel, lamu anu mis'akvim kol kach, besibri yitzias Mitzrayim. B'shar shanachnu kfar higanu. We got to Eretz Yisrael already. We got to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So what are we focusing on? What are we focusing on? Why Yisias Mitzrayim? And this is really the Ramban's kasha in the end of Parshas Bo. Why do we have so many mitzvahs that are Zecher Yisias Mitzrayim? But the Baal Haggadah says, what do we answer the Chacham? Ein maftir nachra Pesach afikomen. Meaning, don't let the taste of the Pesach ever leave your mouth. Not just that night. We have a one night that we don't have to brush our teeth. Or maybe not allowed to brush our teeth. But leave it in your mouth forever. Never forget the time Pesach, because everything after Jewish history started with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything that we have gained, every pinnacle that we have climbed up to, starts with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because that's when Hashem created us, took us out. Everything is Noveya. Kulam Novim Misipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. She Koleles Hakol Mashe Yavo Umashi Yisrachish. Everything. All Dalin Malchius, where we talk about the four Golios, right? Golos Bavel, Parasumada, Yavon, and Edom. Where's Mitzrayim? That's the root of all of them. The root of all the Golios came from Mitzrayim, right? And therefore the root of all Geulos come from Mitzrayim, right? It's all there, and that's what the Shemen HaTov says. That's what we answer the Chacham. Eimaftir Nachar Pesach. That's why we have one night a year that we have to relive. Shavuos, we also relive Maimon Har Sinai. Sukkos, we relive the Anan Yaakovin. But it's not the same. There's no separate mitzvah to feel as if. So we have to recognize, why did Hashem demand that? Because this is the defining moment. This is it, and we have to recognize the godless of that. That's the foundation of everything that comes afterwards. Okay. Yacho Meirash Chodesh. So we might think that the mitzvah of Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim starts from Rosh Chodesh, or up to source number 11 on the bottom. You might think it starts from Rosh Chodesh, Tamar Lomar, Bayomahu. No, only that day. If you think that day, you might think from Erev Pesach. No, B'shoshi Yishmatzu Maror, Munachin Lefanech. So this, the Maisa Nisim, that's the Nesivus, Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, in his Agad, in source 11. Amnam Ish L'tamua Bazeh Psiska Harbe, there's a lot to ask. Number one. Shemehechi teisek adaitin lahaschel meirosh chodesh. A question that many haggadahs ask. Why would I have thought the mitzvah starts earlier? There's no havamina to sit in the sukkah before sukkahs. There's no havamina to hear shofar before Rosh Hashanah. There should be no havamina to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim before Yetzias Mitzrayim happened. Right? Yachal, and this is a medrash. It's a medrash halacha that we're quoting here. So what exactly, and then even after, and after we say, no, it's too early for Rosh Chodesh, okay, then Pesach, then what are you getting, but by Yom Ahu, you might think, Bibo Yom, an Erev Pesach. Right, so what exactly is the Havamin, is the message? So he says, maybe this has come up in other Haggadahs too, but he says, really, obviously the Gula started happening all the way at the beginning when the Makkos started. But when did we really feel that final stage starting? When did that happen? We feel it. Shmos Perek Yud Beis. HaChodesh Zelachem. That's really when the final stage of the Geula started. Rosh Chodesh. Right? V'salkatay dechamino. We know that there's a machlokas about whether you have to talk about the holidays 30 days before the Chag or 2 weeks before the Chag. Everybody agrees 2 weeks is for sure Rosh Chodesh. And the source of that is by Pesach. Shloshim Yom Lefnei Pesach. 2 weeks before Pesach, all Tanoim agree. So V'salkatay dechamino, says the Nesivus. If Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim is about telling over the story, about feeling it, maybe start feeling, it's not like a Maisa Mitzvah, like, there's no Havamina to have matzah 2 weeks before. That's not what the Medrash says. You might think you could have matzah and Mara before. No, that's the night of Pesach. Those are Maisa Mitzvahs. But if Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim is about feeling, maybe it'll take us 2 weeks to feel. Maybe if we start early enough, we have a month of getting ready, maybe that'll be even better. The mitzvah should start even earlier. Salkadai dechamina, kihechi, shemaslu chiev adrisha, mehil choseyen, kach maslu chiev sipur. Kamash malan. And also to remember, Rosh Chodesh, they got the command to take the Karban Pesach and the tenth, they tied it to their beds. So Nisan has a lot to do with the Geula. And of course, if you're going by stages, okay, no, too early. 2 weeks before. Erev Pesach. We call it Erev Pesach, but you know in the Torah, that's called Pesach. Right? The 7 day holiday is Chag HaMatzos. Erev Pesach is Pesach. So maybe, okay, not 2 weeks before, at least the day of. The day of the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. Erev Pesach. No, that's too early also, but those are the Havaminas. Okay. There's a lot to say. Mitchila of the Avodah Zara Hayu Avoseinu. Next paragraph in the Haggadah is Mitchila. Right? Originally, we pass like Rav and Shmuel, the physical and the spiritual. We already mentioned Avodah Mayinu. Now we have Mitchila of the Avodah Zara, source number 13 we're going to go to. And in that paragraph, we talk about originally Avodah Zara Hayu Avoseinu. Who's that referring to? The Rambam tells us even Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was also an Oved Avodah Zarah. The Hu Haya Oved Imahem, the Rambam says. Until he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until he, without any teachers, without anything, he looked at the sun and the moon and the stars and he realized it's not happening by itself. He realized there's a Baal Habira. Right? There's a Baal Habira. Look at the Medrash. The Beis Halevi, source quotes 13. This is in the Beis Halevi Agada from the Grizz. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mashal Le'echad Shaya Over Mimakom Mamakom. Somebody's traveling. V'ra Bira Achas Tolekas. He sees a house on fire. Amar Tomar Shebira Zu Below Manig. Is there nobody in charge? Hitzis Allah Balabira. Anihu Balabira. Some say Bira doesn't mean a house on fire. Is Dolekas, but maybe it just means light. So he sees a palace. Wow. And then somebody peeks out. Hi, I'm the Balabira. Kach lefisha ya avinu Avram Omer shetomer shalom hazeh b'lo manig. Avram Avinu says, there's got to be a manig. There's got to be a creator here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu peeks out and says, hi, it's me. Heitzes avala HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar le aniyu b'ala olam. I'm the master of the world. That's the Medrash. Asks the Griz, v'advarim srichin biur. Kiva demavur da Avram Avinu zacha me'atzmo. Lahakara Avram Avinu reached the levels. He recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew. So what was the Hitzis Hashem? Hashem said, hi. He recognized Hashem. What was added? He recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew there was a Baal Habira, but Hashem still had to say, Anihu Baal HaOlam. What was that added element that Hashem did? That Hashem showed him? Says the Griz. And I've heard this in the name of the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, but it's quoted here from his son, the Griz. Avram Avinu reached the highest levels in intellect, in understanding, in trying to grasp. He looked around at the world and he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it was all based on his mind. It wasn't emuna, it was yediya. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is quoted as saying, and he says it here, emuna starts when yediya ends. There's a certain amount that we could understand and that we could try to figure out. And beyond that, that's when emuna starts. When we can't understand. When we can't grasp. That's when our emuna kicks in. That's in our DNA from this moment. Says the Griz, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu understood it. The Seichel, he figured out that there's a Baal Habira. But then Hashem says, it's me. You know what that put into Avram Avinu and to all of his descendants? The concept of beyond understanding, beyond yediya, that's where emuna starts. He says, "Vanafkamina ben yediya leemuna." So yediya he kol mash adam yochol lahasik besichlo. Everything he could understand. The emuna mashekfar lo nitan lahasik besichel. It's not understandable. We believe that Hashem is in charge. We believe that there's something good about this difficult situation. Whatever the situation is. And that's what he says. I'm the Baal HaOlam. Klomar shezocha le'emuna asher hi lamala misechel ha'adam v'hasagasa. Takes us through mitchila of the Avodah Zarah. And then we get to Baruch Shomer. Baruch Shomer after Chasul Yisrael. Hashem kept his promise. He was Mechashev the Kates. And there is a Haggadah. My father's Zichrono Levracha always used the Migdol Eder Haggadah. I think many might remember the earlier Dar. It's the one with a lot of Pirushim in little letters. It's like 10 pirushim and little letter. That's what he always used to use, the Migdal Eder Haggadah. So I have one of the Migdal Eders. I think we had a few in our house, so I have one. So there's a shot of the Dvar Machadim, one of the commentaries there, with quotes from the Al-Sheikh, the following idea. Right, what does this paragraph say? It reviews the Bris Ben HaBasarim. And that is the covenant that Hashem made with Avraham, that your nation is going to be subjugated in a foreign country, and then I'm going to judge the other nation, and you're going to go out with rechush gadol. You're going to go out with great riches. Great riches. So says the Al-Sheikh. Says the Al-Sheikh, quoted here in the Dvar Machadim. He says, and we even have the Medrash. Remember the Medrash? The Gemara says, guys, Hashem says to Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael, make sure you take out a lot of riches, because Avram's going to be really upset at me, right? If you don't make sure that they take riches out. Ask the Al-Sheikh. You know, it's like, imagine you go over to somebody, you know what, I'm going to beat you up to a pulp, but then I'm going to pay you some money. Is that okay? Like, what does Hashem say to Avraham? They're going to be subjugated, and then they're going to go out with Rechush Gadol. Like, does that make him feel any better? And like, he would have just said, just keep your riches and keep your shibud. I don't need either of them. So ask the Al-Sheikh. Hayomru le'ish nakeotcha elef makos, v'acharkach nitein lecha bishvil ze elef kesef? Don't give me anything. So says the Al-Sheikh, ach be'emes kavanas ha-rechush gadol, the rechush gadol is not really the riches. The rechush gadol is the Kabbalah Satorah. That's the rechush. The rechush is the fact that we live on a different plane of existence than any other nation in the world. We look at life, what other nation looks at life as a pruzdar. This is all hachana. Mishatarach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. Olam hazeh, olam haba. That's what we believe. That's what we live as. Our whole life is hachana. So, says the Al-Sheikh, that's the rechush gadol. We had to have the shibud in order to be purified. This was Shabbos HaGadol 2 years ago, if you remember. We had to go through that experience in order to be purified to get to the levels of Kabbalah Satorah. So it wasn't like, I'm going to smack you, then I'll pay you for it. No, I'm going to put you through something so that you're zocha to something that you would never have been able to be zocha to had you not gone through the difficulty. That's the Rechush Gadol, that's part one. But then he says, I know it's not Pasha Pshat of the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like it's actually the Rechush. So let me explain a little deeper. He quotes from the Pirkei Der Balazar. I think in the middle of the, right after it's underlined. He quotes from the Pirkei Der Balazar. B'shasham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'sinai Enochi Hashem Elokecha. When Hashem said, I am Hashem, the first Dibur, Yatza Kol Rishon, V'ashamayim V'aretz, Roshim Yimenu, V'amesim Shebishol Chayu. We know what Hashem said. The Medrash says, Pirkei Der Balazar is an early Medrash. When Hashem said the first Dibur, all the Mesim woke up, and whoever was alive died. Because we were shocked. Right, that part, the Gemara only says the people who were alive died. But the Pirkei Der Balazar says, and the people who were dead woke up. And then the Medrash says, Hashem did Tchias HaMesim, the second Dibur, Tchias HaMesim again. One second. If we died and then we came back alive, says the Al-Sheikh, based on the Pirkei Der Balazar, we were born again. Were we the same people? We were like a different, what's called Panim Chadashos Ba'olakan. We were like new. So the Rechush Gadol that I just explained that they're going to get, but these aren't the same people that went through Mitzrayim. So is it really going to satisfy Avram Avinu? Because these are new statuses to these people. You might argue with that, but this is his thought. Really, there was a new status. You know what? Let him get the riches from beforehand too. They'll get, yes, Rechush Gadol is the ultimate purpose of Rechush, but they'll also, you can fit it into the Gemara, obviously getting the riches, which they got before Maimon Har Sinai, to be Yotzei Avraham. They actually are going to get something based on their work. But really, the Al-Sheikh says the Rechush Gadol is the Torah that we received afterwards. Baruch Shomer. And then we have Vehisha Amda. Vehisha Amda Lavosein Avalanu, which I think we've said with too much kavana the past couple of years. Shelo echad bilvad, ela b'chol dar vadar, Hashem, we get it. B'chol dar vadar omdim aleinu. So there's a thought that Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, has in his Haggadah. So it's on Shvoch HaMascha, but I'm putting it here on Vehisha Amda. Rabbi Lau notes that we know that we're not so great at Achdus. You know, we're great at Achdus b'shas Tzaris. But we're still working on the Achdus when we don't have Tzaris. But you know who's great at getting us together? The other nations of the world. They're great at being Ma'achei Klal Yisrael. Not just through Tzaris, but just how they view the Jewish people. Right? After all, Rabbi Lau writes, any one Jew that does something wrong, the entire Jewish people are responsible. Right? Because there's a state of Israel, every single Jew in the world is subject to whatever they're subject to because you're a Jew. You're connected to what happens there. That's how they view us. And he tells the story. Some of you might have heard this story before. Remember in the early 1900s, 1911, 1913, the Mendel Baylis, the Russian Jew in Kiev that was accused and the blood libel, and we were all blamed. But there's a story that's said over in the name of different Rabbanim. But they say that one of the prosecutors, eventually, obviously he was acquitted, you can look up the story. One of the prosecutors sent to one of the rabbis, well, Jews are just generally all biased and racist, because the Gemara says in Yevamos, it's always the Jews that turn away that are the worst. The Gemara says that. Atem kruyim adam, ve'ein akum kruyim adam. Right? The source for Tumas Ohel. Only Jews are metamei ohel, because atem kruyim, oh, we're not people. Atem kruyim adam. So there's different varts. There's two ways to understand that. I've heard two different stories. Here he quotes one that they sent, like they asked the Rabbanim, what should we answer to this prosecutor? So one answer I once heard, it's the same vart, but one answer I once heard that was adam, ish could be pluralized, anashim, right? Gever gvarim. Right, other words for man could be made into plural. Adam, there's no plural for Adam. Adam is Adam. It's one. Right, that's what it means. Atem kruyim Adam. We're called Adam because we're one, and that's because of you. You view us as one. Atem kruyim Adam. That's what the Gemara means. The way that Rabbi Lau quotes it is another way similar, and that is, you view us like that, says the Hisbir. He quotes, "Atem bnei Adam kruyim Adam, kolchem ki ish echad." Shari Yehudi echad mevatzei advar avera, lo omrim Ruvein bitza avera, ella omrim haYehudim avaryanim. It's not that one Jew did something; that all the Jews are responsible. All the Jews are responsible. They view us as one. Rabbi Lau writes, "We have to view ourselves as one." I think I mentioned a couple of years ago, right? Shelo echad bilvad amar aleinu lechaloseinu. Aderach drush. Shelo echad, when we're not echad, bilvad. Just for that reason, omdim aleinu lechaloseinu. Because when we're together, and we heard the stories, some of the hostages said over the stories that their captors knew, they loved the fighting on TV, the inner fighting in Israeli society. Because they knew that's exactly what, when we're all united, they know where they can overtake us. Rabbi Lau says, he quotes at the end, he says, Arvus, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zalazeh. Number one, Arvus from responsibility. Arvus, Ta'arovus, a mixture. We have to view each other as a mixture with each other. And finally, he quotes from Lubavitcher Rebbe, Arev is sweet, to be sweet to each other. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zalazeh. That's how we counter. They view us with Achdus, we have to view ourselves with Achdus, and then we'll get over and be Zocha to the continuous HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam. Okay, Tzei Ulamad, the Haggadah Kol Aryeh, Source 16. Tzei Ulamad, is there a kesher between Tzei Ulamad and Lavan and the previous paragraph of Vehisha Amda? Is there a connection between those two? That's what he's trying to figure out. So he quotes a thought from the Moreno Tzadik Miliska, who quotes, based on Tosfos in Kiddushin, the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says there that by Umos Ha'olam, Machshava Ra'a, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif L'maisa. When it comes to other nations, an evil thought to do something wrong, Hashem considers it as if it's already done. If it's already done, you want to do something bad, you did it. The Tova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael is that, no, only if we actually do it, except for Avodah Zarah. But generally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mitzarif L'maisa. So he explains that's a Tova Gedola. Why? Because on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowed to take away Bechira Chavshis in general. Right? That's the part of being human. You have free choice. So there are so many nations out there throughout history that want to do bad to the Jewish people. Hashem can't stop them because it's Bechira Chavshis. But you know what Hashem does, what he can do? If Hashem considers it Machshava Kemaisa, then once they think it, Hashem can say, okay, you did it. And then stop them right there. Because it's already Mitzarif L'maisa. That's a Tova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Chesed. Right? How many times in history have we found out a little bit only afterwards what they really wanted to do to us? And how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't even know, 99% of history, we have no idea what our enemies wanted to do to us. We just have a little shemetz of what they actually did. But it's a Tov, it's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Gemara, that Hashem is mitzareif, their machshava to Maisa, and in that way he'll be able to stop them before they do it, because it's already giving them the free choice. And in that way, he protects us. Shuv l'inyin, Gemara Maisa, sheyasov yigmara pu'ula ra, yochal Hashem yisparach lehiz dakeg, levatal b'chirasam, he could stop them. He says that's v'hisha amda, they stand up to destroy us. Hashem saves us. How does he save us? Because a lot of their machshavas, he says, okay, yeah, the machshava, I'm going to punish you right now. Say ulamad, where do you know that from? Lavan ha'arami. Mabikish, lavan ha'arami, he didn't do it. He had the machshava to do it. But we consider it as if it was done. That's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think they quote B'Shem Rav Chaim Yivalazhin that one of the Christian leaders once came to him, and it says in Hala, Halua Shashem Kol Goyim, Shabchu Kol Ha'umim, right, that all the nations are going to praise you, Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasto. So the priest said to Rav Chaim Yivalazhin, we're going to praise because Hashem showed you chesed? Why are we going to praise? So Chaim Yivalazhin says, yeah, because we don't know half the things that you were planning to do to us. You're going to praise because we're not even going to know. You're going to realize how good HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us. That's this idea. Machshav Alamaisa. Okay. Source 17 is from the Haggadah that we got last year. Bederech Emuna Bacharti. Haggadah with many different stories relating to the October 7th. And it had many different thoughts in there on. We got to the one part on the Pesukim, Biyad Chazaka, Abizur Natuya. So Biyad Chazaka, the strong hand. The strong hand. So he talks here, he mentions a couple of pep talks that were given to some of our Chayalim, which we have some of them sitting here now. And I'm sure they will connect to this idea. Talks about how we stand on the shoulders of all the previous great warriors in history, starting with Avram Avinu, David HaMelech, continuing throughout history, and we have to stand there, we're fighting for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then he says towards the end, just two thoughts, regarding this Yad Chazaka, this strong hand that we partner with our Kodesh Baruch Hu to be able to bring this strong hand on our enemies. So he quotes that there was a soldier that said to him, he says that, I find it difficult, obviously, when I'm in this intense battlefield, and then I go home for a Shabbos. Or I go out for a day or two, and I see people living normally. Like people like waking up in the morning and like going to buy milk and walking down the street. And it's like, it's a disconnect of like, I'm in this situation of intense, like not normal existence. And now this is normal. See, he says, but then the realization, just everybody should make sure they're muted. But then I realized that's exactly what we're fighting for. We're putting ourselves into an abnormal situation so that everybody behind us could live a normal life. And sometimes we have to put ourselves out there in that way. Right? Hu amar li, she'svita kala b'leiv k'shani ro'a chevra k'ilu akol k'ragil. Alo be'emes anachnu nilchamim b'shvil zeh. This is exactly what we're fighting for. And he quotes from Rav Kook, klomer she'tzorach anshi chayel she'yichyu chayim bilti normaliyim. K'dei sha'am kulo yichyeh b'tzur normalis. Ad ayom hazeh, when we have some of our miluimniks that leave the families for yuntif, that's not normal. And we recognize that's not normal. But it's done so that everyone else, not on the battlefield, could live normal lives and to recognize what it's all about. Please, everybody check if you are not muted. And just one final thought at the end, he quotes, and he says, 18, he says, Shamati Vart Nifla on the top of the next page, right? When you get the call that your unit's being called up, you get it, Sav Shmona, 8. Yeah, there are reasons why it's called Sav Shmona. But the Maharal says 8 is Lamala Min HaTeva. And Teva is 7. And when we get the Tzav Shmona, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling us to do something Lamala Min HaTeva. Something that is not normal, that's something that is not in the regular realm of expected behavior. And everyone who answers the Tzav Shmona recognizes that he's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Moving right along to the Makos. They say, Haggadah Kerem HaTzvi. Kerem HaTzvi, which I got a couple of years ago, Rav Filber, source 19. So he quotes, we know the Makos in Mitzrayim, and Rashi quotes, if you remember, the first two Makos, they did Ma'adam, they did Tzvardeya, and then the Mitzrayim also were able to do Dam and Tzvardeya. Only want to get to Kinim, oh, it's too small. They couldn't do Kinim. So the question basically is implicit in the Medrash. So what was the point of the first two Makos? They did Dam. Oh, we could do it too. Oh, sorry. Let's try again. Tzvardeya. Oh, we could do it too. So what was the purpose of the first two Makos?
Hi, Lisa.
Okay, we'll take a break 1 second. Take a break 1 second to make sure. I don't think I can mute. I'm not the host. I think I'm the host. Everybody should make sure that they are muted. Okay, so let's continue. So says the Kerem HaTzvi, what is the purpose of the first two Makos if we knew that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, and they laughed at Moshe, and they scoffed at Moshe, and they said, look at source, about line 3, Tevin ata machnas laforayim, you're bringing Tevin to a place that has plenty of Tevin. So what exactly was the purpose? So this explains the Kerem HaTzvi that the, we're good. Says the Kerem HaTzvi, if you think about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Mitzrayim, to prove Ein Kamoni B'chol Ha'aretz, L'man Teda Ki Lashem Ha'aretz. So he quotes B'noeg Sheba Olam, on line 8 or so, Ki Oskim B'chachma, somebody who wants to, who's Osik in wisdom, he's going to try to get, look what he writes. He's 100 plus years ago, Diploma Mi University Mufuara, Be'ir Gedola. He's going to try to get a degree from a big famous university, because the greater the university, they're going to realize, wow, if they think you're a big chacham, awesome, you must be really great. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go to Mitzrayim because that was the center of civilization at that time. That was the high point. That was the apex. He chose Mitzrayim. Shehaya Merkaz HaRashi L'chol Minei Kshafim. That was the secret of all magic that was taking place at the time. And you know that. How do you know that it was the high point and the most amazing? They had such wisdom because there are things that were built thousands of years ago that are still around. It just shows you, like, you look at the pyramids, right? Look at the mummies, like all these things. How many thousands, and they're still here? It shows you how much chachma they had. Chachma of Chanita, whatever that is, right? Mentioned at the end of Vayechi. So they had tremendous, he says, towards the two-thirds of the way down. Pyramidias. But Siurim Nifloim, right? And everybody, Vachal Mavaker, British Museum, Yuchaliros kal ela. Right? He says, if Moshe yuchalinatzim, if Moshe could prove himself in this society, in this civilization, then kavachomer. But you know what might happen thousands of years later? People might say, oh, when the Jews were there, that was before Mitzrayim became, whoa. That was before Mitzrayim reached their wisdom. You know what the Torah says? They did Damen Tzfardea also. Could you do that? It was at a time when they could do the Makkos, the first two. And that was the time that this story happened. So don't think that, oh, Mitzrayim wasn't on top of the world in terms of the wisdom at that moment. Right? And that's why Dafka, Asachadish Baruch Hu, Shnei Movsim, Shagama Chartumim Yachol Asos Kain, Shezed Davar Shagamata. Nobody could change water into blood these days. Right? So therefore, Mkain, Hayo Chartumim Vachamim, Mitzrayim Yoser Gedolim, Vechulu, says the Karamatzvi. That is the message of the first two Makos, even though they were able to do it. Okay. Vayaminu Bashem uvamosha avdo. Six more thoughts, those of you who are counting. Vayaminu Bashem Moshe avdo. Emuna. So this is the only time that Moshe Rabbeinu was mentioned in the Haggadah. If you look in the Tiferes Yosef Haggadah. Thank you. Tiferes Yosef. Remember, Rabbi Yosef Engel did not write a Haggadah, but they put together one of my favorite achronim, and they put together a lot of his thoughts on the Haggadah. So he quotes here on Vayaminu Bashem, he talks about Emunah. And he quotes from the Sefer HaYikarim, top left, source 20. Right, says the, he quotes this from the Sefer HaYikarim. He says, if you think about Tshuva Miyira, Lohaisa Ru'i Leskabel Klal. Tshuva miyira, we know there are two types of tshuva. Tshuva out of love, tshuva out of fear. So tshuva out of fear, that's not really such a great tshuva. I'm scared. I'm scared of punishment, right? Tshuva miyira, lo ayis aril eskabo klal, ki apol shalav yishubach ha'adam roi leschar, hurak apol ha'bechiri. Right, if I choose something, then fine, you can give me credit for that. But if I'm like just scared, and that's why I don't do something, is that really Bechira Chafshis? It is, but it's not such a great level. And we know Tshuva Meira is recognized. Masha Miskabel, but you know why it's recognized? Because what's beneath Tshuva Meira? The fact that there is someone in charge who could give me the onesh. Right? What might be called Yiras HaOnes and Yiras HaRomamus, but he's not exactly saying that. He's just saying, even in the Yiras HaOnesh, the fact that I believe that I might be subjugated to a punishment means that I believe that there's someone in charge. And that is unadulterated belief. And that's something that we could focus on and get schar for. The emuna behind that tshuva is something that's pure. And he says, "Valderach ze amarti gamani b'avonas hashas." Some of it might remember the last daf in Makkos, Chaf Gimel Chaf Dalid. The Gemara says that's where the Chazal is, 6:13. How do you know there's 613 mitzvahs? There's a machlokas what those mitzvahs are, but everybody agrees 6:13. The Ramban has a line like that. I don't understand how this Chazal had mazel. There's a machlokas about everything in life, but this has mazel, 6:13. But then the Gemara says David HaMelech took the 6:13 and made it into 11. Made it into 11. Until Chabakuk, and everybody kept whittling it until Chabakuk won. Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. All the way down. Made a move a cloud. Ask Rabbi Yosef Engel. What? Chabakuk said he got rid of 612. Right, what does that mean? He kept whittling and David HaMelech. He made it into 11 and all the way down into 1. Adu Chabakuk ba la'akar ha'torah chalila. Lomer she'in tzorech la'. All you got to do is believe. Right? That's not our religion. There are other religions that all you got to do is go to a religious place and say, I believe, and then you are cleansed. That's not what we believe. Right? So what does that mean? Acha kavana. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel. No, this thought. Ultimately, the ultimate level of avoda is to serve Hashem out of love. Yavat Hashem Yisbarach. And if not, it's not a perfect avoda if we're serving not out of that love and a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a level, but it's not perfect. So Habakkuk looked around at his door and he says, everybody's doing mitzvahs and wonderful, but a lot of it is not on that level of unadulterated service that there could be perfect schar for in Shemayim. Until Habakkuk dug deep under that avoda and says, there's emuna under there. Because even if I'm doing something out of yira, out of recognition of schar va'onesh, I realize that underneath that all is the emuna pshuta of every Jew, that we realize there's a Baal Habira, like Avram Avinu. And in that way, that emuna is something that's at the root. Of course, you have to do all the mitzvahs. He was just saying, when you distill and you want to get to the purity of the Jew, v'yaminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe avdo. That's what he says in the continuation. You turn the page also. Even if somebody is not serving b'shlemus, their emuna underneath has shlemus in that as well. Okay. So we could talk about the other parts there, but let's go to Dayenu. It's the next part of the Haggadah, right after a couple of paragraphs. 22 on the top left. Next page. The Margolius Hayam. One of the Achronim on Maseches Sanhedrin. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Samachay that discusses, there was one of the Rishoyim that asked one of the Tanoim, how do you know Hashem created the world in 7 days? And how do you know Shabbos? And the Gemara talks about there was a certain river that stopped flowing on Shabbos. Sambatyon. So Gemara there. Fascinating Gemara. But the Margolius Hayam here, in source 22, he quotes a Medrash. Right? This has to do with Dayenu, as we'll see. He quotes the Medrash Tanchuman B'Shalach. Ra'u ki Hashem nasan lachem es ha-Shabbos. Ra'u. See, Hashem gave you Shabbos. Ma Ra'u? What does it mean, Ra'u? Ra'u heichatem meshivim le'umos ha'olam. Look how you're going to answer the other nations. Shem yomru lachem, lama atem b'shabrim es yom ha-shabbos, manisim na'asu lachem, see Hashem gave you Shabbos, ve'ichinos asher yaviyu, and it goes into the man. What's going on here in this medrash? You have Shabbos and the man. We know the man fell double on Erev Shabbos. See, he quotes, Ratzalomar. Imumos ha'olam, removing Margolius, wrote the Margolius Hayam, one of the greats of the previous dor. Imumos ha'olam yomru miyemer do'inna Shabbos ha'maisa breishis. If anybody ever asks, how do you know that you got the right day? And how do you know that Hashem really created the world in 6 and rested on the 7th? How do you know that? Al kol sipurei ha'Torah yesh eschem misores me'av leben. Every other story, you have a misora. Father to son. Right? Every story that ever happened, you could say that it was passed down from generation to generation. Bracious, there was nobody there. You can't prove that from Misora. Aval shahayu sheishis yimei ha-maisa, v'yom ha-shvi'i shavsa ha-yitzira, mi yuchal lo-ha'id al-kach, acharei shlo haya adam bo'olam bracious abriya. Adam was created at the end of day 6, or the beginning of day 6, whatever. But there was nobody there for days 1 through 5. How do you know it was day 6 when he was created? Tomru lahem, tell them, the man. The man. We have a misora about the man. We know the man fell every day. Didn't fall on Shabbos, fell double on Friday. The man is megala. Sheshes yamim ta'avod. Tomru lahem she beredes haman nochuchu kalashishim ribo mi Yisrael unashem yaldeh masa yom amenucha. Yom yom, it fell every day, double, umani imini oz, and from that time in the midbar, the misora of Shabbos has never stopped. Ubazeh, ubachin, ein shum makom l'safik, masay Shabbos. So there's no reason to have any suffik. What do we say in the Dayenu? Ilu hechi lanu es haman, v'lo nasan lanu es ha-Shabbos, Dayenu. If we would have gotten the man and not Shabbos, Dayenu would have been enough for us to be able to prove and know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Even without the mitzvah of Shabbos. Because, Beretz HaLomer, Me Haman Atzma, Inechol Madas, Ma Shabbos, Ma Yom Yomayim, V'chulu, says the Gemara. I think one time in history, I think in France, I don't know, a couple hundred years ago, they tried to have like a 10-day week. And they didn't work. Because it's in the Bria. Maisa Bracious is in the Bria. In the Bria. So we have Dayenu, and then we get to Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So Pesach. There is a I don't call it a cute, but a thought from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu in source 23, where he quotes, we say, Ana Hashem Oshiyana. You can say this by Hallel too. Ana Hashem Oshiyana. We say it every Hallel. So he wonders, why do we start off with Ana, and then at the end we just say Na? They both kind of mean like, please. Ana Hashem Oshiyana. Why don't we say, Ana Hashem Oshiya, Ana? Or the opposite. So he quotes from Rav Meir Vaknin, Rabba HaRashi Shel Teria. As Divrei HaGemara B'Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, in Chelek, She'ein Ben David Ba Ela Badar Shekula Chayva Kula Zakai, Mashiach's coming, either when we are all tzaddikim, or when we are all Rishayim. That's the Gemara. V'yomar Kach, and he said, that's impossible. Kula Chayiv, Lo Yitachin, Ki Mashiach Shem Tzaddikim. You can have a generation where we're all Rishayim? Come on. There's always going to be some tzaddikim. Kula tzaddikim? That's also impossible. There's not going to be one Russia. Lachain anu mavakshem Hashem sheyoshienu. Oh, Hashem, save us! No. What's na? Afilu she'am Yisrael yuchatzi tzaddikim v'chatzi Rishayim. Kemosha b'karben Pesach. Karben Pesach has to be, what did it say? It has to be tzli, right? Not mevushal na. What's na? Cooked halfway. Na means halfway, partially. And that's what we have. On Hashem Oshia, no, even if some are this and some are that. You could do it. You could break your rules. That's the Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. On Hashem Oshia, no. That's a thought on Pesach, related to Pesach. Matzah, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. I had a quote Rav Moshe this year at his 40th yard site. Was just a few weeks ago on Tainus Esther. So Rav Moshe says, Matzah zusha anu ochlam al-shumma. We know matzah requires a lot of kavana, right? What we call shmura matzah, right? Even if I know for sure that the matzah was not subject to leavening and there was no chametz, but that's not shmura. L'shem mitzvah matzah. But to have kavana from early stages, from shas ketzira, k'mo b'chametz u'matzah, av pi sheyad inan debatik zeino chametz. Even if you know for sure it's not chametz, Mikomacham and Yosi can't use it for matzah's mitzvah. Why? Because matzah's mitzvah tzrichal yoshmura v'loi bizdamnus ba'am. It's not just about you happened upon some matzah that fits the criteria of not chametz. That's not good enough. Kavana plays a major role in the creation of the matzah. You don't do the matzah just like it happened. You happen to find some. No. You from the beginning, you think about it, you focus. And you create. Says Ramosha, this is how we should need to do mitzvahs in general. Matzahs, remember, we shvatim as a matzah, shvatim as a mitzvahs. Mitzvahs can't be just, oh, ba'akroi, I stumble on a mitzvah. I tripped over a mitzvah, so I did it. No, mitzvahs have to be planned. Mitzvahs have to be focused on. Mitzvahs have to be done with thought out before, during, and after. Right, that's the purpose of a bracha. Right, purpose of a bracha. Right, the purpose that many chassidim have and others have the minhag of saying of l'shem yichud and hini mechavein. The Noda Yehuda was against that because he said the bracha serves that purpose. And he says if there's no bracha on a mitzvah, I just say a little hini muchan beforehand. He wasn't against the hini muchan. He was against the l'shem yichud kabbalistic idea. But whatever it is, we should prepare ourselves to make sure mitzvos learned from matzos are done in a thought out way. We prepare for it. We get the most out of it. We mentioned in the past, Rav Yerucham has a thought without getting into where he says it in Shmos, about Shifra and Pua, if you remember, that great people make little things great. And little people make great things little. Right? You could have a little thing like tying your shoes, and Judaism makes that a sanctified activity. And you could have something unbelievable, and I like to quote the story. Many, I'm sure I've heard it, and I remember 20 plus years ago when my wife and I were in Florida. I remember we went into a shul, and it was the Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Why do I remember? Because of this story. And they were davening Meir. Between Micha and Meir, the rabbi gets up to speak, give a few minutes of our Torah. I'm like, okay, I'm sitting there, and the rabbi goes over to the Yalav Yavo thingy in front of the chazan, and takes it out and says, Rabosai, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. tonight starts the month of Kabbalah Satorah, that we receive the Torah. What an unbelievable month there is. Who wants the schus of sliding the Yalav Yavo card into the front of the chazan? I'm like, is he kidding? Is he for real? And he says, we'll start the bidding at $100. This is more than 20 years ago. I'm like, somebody's going to pay $100 to slide the Yalav Yavo thing into. And I looked and he was like, come on, who's going to do $600? It went for $600. I couldn't believe it. But that's something, somebody that takes little things and makes it great. That's Reb Moshe. Matzazu. You think about mitzvahs. We do it in a way that makes them memorable for ourselves and for others. Okay. And Maror. We had Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Second to last thought. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, the Tzlach. Psachim, the end of Psachim. What's the language of Rabbi Gamliel, Omer, if you don't say these things, three things, lo yatsa, yedei, chovaso. Right? If you don't say these three, you're not yotze, why not just say lo yatsa? We have many, let's say Mishnayis. Remember Mishnayis? Akarav l'shpil, aznav lo yatsa, lo yatsa, lo yatsa. What's the thing, de chovaso? It's like this added two words. Lo yatsa, de chovaso. So says the Tzlach, we know that we went out of Egypt early. Right? Instead of 400, it was 210. Okay, 400 from birth of Yitzchak, but why'd we go out early? What, in what merit did we go out early, 210? So the Noda B'Yehuda says, well, it's one of two choices. Either it was early, and the other 190 we're paying for over all of these Galios, it's like in place of, Hashem spread it out. The other 190, or those 210 were so bad and so harsh, it counted as 400. Counted as 400. Says the Tzlach, how do we know the first one's right? I'm sorry, the second one. How do we know the second one is right? That it was because of the harshness, and it wasn't because that we didn't fulfill our quota, because Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Why is Maror last? Maror should be first. First you had the Maror, and then you have the Matzah, which is also Simen of Geula. Why is Maror last? Because Maror was the reason that brought the Geula. Because it was so Maror. It was so bitter. That's the third. That's at the end. Because that's hinting to us that that's the reason that we were able to go out. Because if you don't do it in this order, then you'd be saying that we weren't Yotzei Archiv and Mitzrayim. We weren't Yotzei the 400 years and we're still paying for it now. Lo yatsa yedei chovaso. Say it in this order with Maror last. So we realize the reason that we went out early is not because we're still and there's still a debt to pay. We have no more debts to pay in Mitzrayim. They suffered enough. Right? Hayah lahakti mar lamatzah. You should have been mar before matzah. But adarabba, Maror is the gula amitis. And that's lo yatsa chovaso, says the Noda B'Yehuda. Unbelievable. To explain those two extra words in the Mishnah and here in the Haggadah. Remember the Noda B'Yehuda's name? Yecheskel Landau. The Noda B'Yehuda was his father. That's the Noda B'Yehuda. His mother was Chaya. Tzion L'Nefesh Chaya, Tzlach. And his name, Yecheskel Landau, chief rabbi in Prague in the early 18th, 19th century. Okay. Final thought for the evening. Again, we could spend many, many more hours, Kol Amarbe, but feel free to listen to 20 plus years of the archives. I think only the Rav Elazar ben Azariah thought was said before. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So we know Chayav Adam, we get at the end of Magid, Chayav Adam Liros Az Atzmo, we have to feel as if we went out of Mitzrayim. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Bilam already told us that. Bilam taught us that. We say in Parshas Balak, source 26, Kel Motzi'am Mi Mitzrayim. Hashem, who takes us out of Egypt. Says the Arachaya, Motziyam is present. Motziyam, below Hotziyam. Right, why does it say in the present tense? Says the Arachaya, Bechol dar vadar chayav adam liros es atzmo. Amru yode pnimius haTorah. Those who understand the pnimius. Ki kol el pesach mizbarim kochos hakedusha meyaklifa. We know that there are many sources, including right here, that every holiday on the Jewish calendar, the power of that holiday exists every year on that Hebrew date. Every year there's the power of what happened on that date. V'nosafim ba'am b'nei Yisrael v'yabachina atzma shal yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem is still motzi us. Present tense. Ki lo yitzia rishona levad. Ela b'chol shana v'shana motziyam. Every year, Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim. Every year it could be a night of freedom. Every year it could be a night of experiencing. In some years, in many years, it's hard to feel it. I would say the last couple of years, especially this year, we have to. And maybe Hashem's giving it a little easier and a little harder at the same time to recognize where we've been and where we are, and to recognize Hashem is still being motzi us. Hashem is involved every step of the way in terms of the Yetziyah Mitzrayim, but we have to know that we could break our own, as many point out, the Mitzarim, any borders that we think, Mitzar is a border, any borders that think that we are limited to, we could break those borders. To break out of what we think our maximum service is, we could break those borders, but recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still taking us out of Mitzrayim. Remember, that's where it all started. That was the Chacham's question. That's where it all started, and that power is going to take us and push us all the way to the final stage as we end the Haggadah, L'shana Haba, B'Yerushalayim. We hope, Hashem, very soon to be able to dance with everyone and to connect to all Jews in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh, b'mheira v'yameinu. This year, again, as long as plans stay the same right now, the Shabbos HaGadol Joshua will also be recorded, and I'm a traditional guy. I like Shabbos afternoon, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is deciding otherwise so far, so it'll be live streamed on Thursday night, Baruch Hashem. Those who could, feel free to tune in. Okay, we'll stop here.